Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast, where we are dedicated to championing your human potential in Christ. Thank you for pausing today, for pushing the pause button, to be still, to allow God to speak into any fear that you might be having, any doubt, any worry that is taking up free rent between your two ears. Today's topic is entitled, Need a Change of Heart? So perhaps you need a change of heart today. Perhaps you're feeling burdened, heavy laden, and you're looking for some relief. Listen in to today's podcast as our learning objective is to offer you the opportunity to explore the authentic meaning of sin and repentance and its connection to freedom. One of our foundational verses at Edge God In podcast ministries is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. So we're going to explore a step-by-step process on what that looks like to get to that sense of freedom. And what does repentance even mean? And what is sin? What does that look like? And how does that hold us back from the freedom that is declared in Galatians 5:1? And I'm joined today by a dear friend, dear friend and sister in Christ and colleague, Phyllis Hendry Halverson. And she is the president and CEO of one of the most powerful ministries that I've been involved with for the last several years called Lead Like Jesus. Lead Like Jesus. If you're interested in more information on that ministry, please visit leadlikejesus.com, leadlikejesus.com. Phyllis, thank you so much for carving out time to co-host today's podcast.
Oh, Lauren, thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here, and especially with you talking about this topic. So great to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing, as you and I were speaking before we started to record, to see what the Holy Spirit desires to speak into the hearts of listeners. Mm-hmm. And as with all of our podcasts that we put out, there's a one page at edgegodin.com that you can download that has five steps to capture, transfer your learnings into forward action steps. So you can explore that at edgegodin.com. In the meantime, if you're driving, if you're listening to us on a walk, simply pause and ask the Holy Spirit to show you one to three things. Holy Spirit, show me one to three things that will help lighten the load today. The mental fear, the mental doubt, the mental desire to know, and the feelings of uncertainty. Holy Spirit, show me what is here for me. What is the gold nugget for me that I can take and I can think on and focus on and transfer into my life so that I can run and not grow weary and walk and not faint, even in the midst of uncertainty. Sweet Jesus, we dedicate our time to you today. May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone who's pausing and desiring to edge you in to their mind, their will, and their emotions. Lord, you said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. We desire rest in the midst of this not knowing journey we're walking through. Grant us your peace that passes all human understanding. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So Phyllis, I'm going to jump in just speaking into the definition of sin, the Greek translation. And this is one of my favorite translations of sin, which is the Greek word is hamartia. I might be pronouncing that. I'm married to a Greek man. I probably should ask him before jumping on this call. How do you pronounce that word? The Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. Don't you love that statement? To miss the mark. And repentance walks hand in hand because when we're sinning, we're missing the mark. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes along with that. Feelings, guilt, shame, fear, doubt, worry, all those things when we're missing the mark of Christ, of realizing that whatever he calls us to, he's faithful and he'll do it through us. We're called to that repentance experience. And I'm reminded of the incredible scene in Jesus Christ of Nazareth by Franco De Zeffirelli, where John the Baptist is in the desert saying, repent, repent. You know, what does this repentance mean for us today? And the Greek translation is metanoia. What does metanoia mean today? And the definition is to have a change of heart. So we're going to have a little conversation around, what does it mean to miss the mark? Why is that even important for me to think about during these times of uncertainty? And what is my personal experience with having a change of heart or mind? If my heart or mind is weighing me down, sign me up. I want to change a heart and mind. What are your thoughts on that, Phyllis?
Well, my first thought as I was praying into this, Lauren, is that, you know, back to Psalm 139:23, where the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And sometimes it is difficult to even know our own heart. Mm. We even need help knowing our own heart and what is in our heart. And so to have a changed heart, we have to know what's in our heart and how we might be missing the mark. And as I've been, another verse that came to my mind as I was praying was Proverbs 27:19. It says, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Mm. And so when we begin to think about missing the mark, you know, the mark for me is Jesus. And I know that God's goal for me and for you and those who follow Jesus was to become more like Jesus. And when I'm not, when I'm not like him, when I miss that mark of loving, of kindness, of doing the most loving thing in the hard situation, when I miss that mark of being more like him, I know that that's the mark I've missed. And the most amazing thing about missing that mark is he is the only one that can help me make the mark. And so my very first thing is to come to him and just say, I missed the mark that you set for me. I wasn't like Jesus today. I could have been kinder to that person, but I was impatient. I was trying to get something else done and, you know, this happened. Or I've made a really big mistake. And coming back to him and letting him work in my heart to really search it and help me know what that looks like. What is the sin in my life? And Lauren, that leads me to the next point that I started thinking about is perspective. And I believe all of that has to be wrapped in our perspective of God. Who is he and who am I? And when I start to look at scripture and see the powerful words of who God is as the creator, the one whose arm is never too short, the one whose ear is never too dull to hear, the one who comforts us, who is the Lord, our maker, who stretched out out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. That's who this God is that we're talking about. And in Isaiah, you know, there's this passage where he is high and lifted up. And in these days, we may have forgotten who God is. And it is possible to sin against him because we have missed the mark, his mark for us, which is to become more like Jesus. And so when I think about my perspective of who God is, I believe, you know, what we believe about God is the most important thing about us, A.W. Tozer said, and our behaviors come out of our beliefs. And so as I was thinking and praying about this, I began to think about, so what are my beliefs? What do I believe about God? What do I believe about me? And then what does that mark look like when I miss the mark, when that is obviously sin in my life? And I believe for me, it is when I miss the mark of being more like Jesus. Hmm. And that repentance, that's when repentance comes, is that I go back and repent of whatever it was that took me off the path of becoming that person.
Hmm. That's so beautifully said. How do I know? How do I know as a follower of Jesus when I've missed the mark? How does that show up in my mind, my will, my emotions? What does that look like?
Well, for me, and probably for you too, Lauren, it is as we study the Word of God, we get to know Him. And we get to watch Jesus and what He did when He was on earth for 3+ years, and how He treated people, and how He molded and shaped His time around relationships. And so we become familiar with not just what He did, but who He was and the kind of life He lived. And so Jesus is our model in the midst of even these days of very great unknown. We don't know what the future looks like right now. Anybody who ever thought that they had control over anything suddenly knows they do not have control now.
Amen to that.
And so here we are. And so looking back to say, what do we know? What do we know about God? What do we know about ourselves? And when I miss the mark for me, I come back to Jesus and just look at His life and say, this is what He did. And I compare what I've done. And when that falls short, I know that that's when I have to repent. And there's this little nudge in me that I believe is the Spirit of God that says, either puts that on my heart again, think about it, or place that again in my mind, or I don't feel at ease. There's some discomfort around the situation that I have to go back and come before the Lord and say, Lord, did I miss the mark? And realizing that I did, then I repent.
What's that experience like for you? Because as we're reading, you know, metanoia, to have a change of heart or mind. So you're walking along, you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps, I mean, I have a perfect example. I had a thought yesterday about somebody, and it was a judgment. And right away, I literally heard inside, don't go there, choose mm-hmm. love. Just mm-hmm. a simple, you know, Jesus isn't a man of many words when he gives you those downloads. It's just a quick drop and he moves right along. Right. He's planting lots of different seeds and it's like, and you know it's from the Lord because it goes deep. Yeah. So I literally stopped me in my tracks. And I really, the first thought I thought is like, I've got a choice. Oh my gosh, I have a choice here. I don't have to stay in frustration and anger against this person. I can choose love. And then my next prayer was, show me what that looks like, Lord. I need to borrow that from my heart because I'm not feeling it right now. And so much of our heavy-heartedness is our link to our emotions. Our identity gets hijacked by our emotions. So we rise and fall depending upon how the world judges us or doesn't judge us. We get spun, we have triggers. And Jesus is constantly calling us up and out of that place that just toggles us back and forth emotionally. And it's exhausting. And he is calling us out and up from that. I was reading the other day of the blind man, who was healed, and Jesus, you know, left him for a bit and came back and you know, said, stop sinning. Just stop sinning. So I don't know what was going on, but there must have been something going on where he was kind of falling back into some old patterns of behavior. which we do. You know, it's right. Many times, Jesus, it's a process. And this is what we're talking about today. It's a process many times. Dear God, help me to return quicker today than yesterday.
Yes.
And it's in, especially if it's in a certain area. Like for me, there's certain Earth School classes that are different from you. Things that trigger me might be different from you because right. you're at a different point on your journey and you've experienced different things. So as we're speaking into the lives of listeners and people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you who are listening in today, what does that process look like? Is it the same for everyone once they've realized I've missed the mark? What do I do now? What does that look like?
Well, that's the choice point. When we realize we've missed the mark, then just as you said, Lauren, there is a choice to be made. We can stay there. I mean, we can actually stay in that place. And if you've ever done that for a period of time before you decided it was the wrong place, you will remember that it is an uncomfortable place to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you know there's this churning and this thing that you know you don't have it right. And so you keep at it. And you keep maybe going over a conversation that you had that you know maybe you lost your temper, or maybe you were in a situation where you were not thinking the best of another person, whatever it was. And you play that over in your mind hundreds of times. Mm. Instead of you being set free to move on in your life, to be able to have joy, this thing is still hanging over you. And so it's in that choice point that we get to decide at that very moment, do we resolve this by coming to repentance? Because we know it wasn't right with the Lord. We know we missed the mark. So repent and move on so that there's freedom in your life. Mm-hmm. But it is the choice point that comes. And I think it's different. I think it's different every time, depending on the situation, that it may be something someone else says to you and you realize you play something back and think, oh, I see how I missed the mark in that. Or it may be instant, as yours was, Lauren, is that it just dropped right in you mm-hmm. from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I had a similar situation happen about a week ago. And I was thinking a negative, very negative thought. And the passage of scripture that came into my mind was, think what is right, good, you, pleasing to the Lord. You know, that whole passage. Mm,
just was and saying I, it this morning, my
yes.
friend. That's a good one.
Think about those things. And mm-hmm. that was a command. That wasn't a suggestion. Mm. It's imperative in the original language. So that's a command for us to think on those things. And so immediately I have a choice point to change my thinking, to take every thought captive. Scripture is clear that we can do that. Mm-hmm. And so we immediately make a choice and we say, Lord, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. Those are not the thoughts that I want to have. And so, Lord, will you take those thoughts captive? Give me new thoughts and begin to really give this whole idea of what can I find good? You know, how do I find good in that situation? If there is any good at all, let me see it. And if there's not a situation where I can see good in, I can see how God is still working in it. So that I find it, that I seek the good, that I seek what God is doing in the situation, not what I'm seeing, but what he's seeing. Mm. So it's that choice point, I think, that comes to all of us.
Beautiful, beautiful. And the other question too, because those automatic negative thoughts seem to crash in and trash a good picnic anytime. And mm-hmm. sometimes they just pop in out of nowhere. And they're usually linked to what is referred to, and I'm just going to list these off. Perhaps listeners, you recognize yourself somewhere. I was just reading these scriptures with my husband this morning. And we ask each other, where do you recognize yourself? And I'm like, I recognize myself here. I recognize myself there. So I'm going to just read this through because this is from Galatians and giving us a reference or context here of our conversation with scripture, because the Holy Spirit speaks through the scripture and the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. And it pierces to places that that we are not even aware of that are running under the radar, and all of a sudden we're in a bad mood. And so as quickly as possible, and I've spoken about this before, that it's important, which is a very popular word, to quarantine it. How do you quarantine it? As Jesus said, whatever you drag out into the light loses its grip on you. So even asking yourself a coaching question, what's this about? What's this feeling about? And another coaching question to ask yourself is, what's the upside of holding on to this? What do I get? Believe it or not, God has made us pretty wise. We're not going to hold on to something unless there's an upside for control, an upside for revenge. I get revenge. There's always an upside. So find out what's really going on here. But let's listen and lean into the word a little bit here. In Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. And I'm going to speak too about the Holy Spirit, because we're not alone here to have a change of heart and mind. Just saying, the Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone, because this is hard. When those emotions are driving the bus, beep, beep, and leaving a bunch of carnage behind us as we're plowing over people and ourselves, we have help. And Paul is speaking to Galatia about this in the Galatians about this in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. But I say, walk habitually. Habitually, that means make it a habit to walk in the Holy Spirit. Seek him, be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature. So we're given a process here, a process to have a change of heart. One, to have the first part of this process is to be responsive to the Holy Spirit, be attentive. How do we do that, Phyllis? How can we be attentive to the Holy Spirit so that we can hear I can hear my husband. My husband would say, I don't hear the Holy Spirit dropping in like that. You know, so what does that look like for listeners today? How can we be responsive, more responsive today than yesterday, so that we can hear those? How's that feel? Do you want to stay there? You have a choice, or flat out think about whatever's good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, praiseworthy.
You know, again, this is about a relationship that is so personal with every person. This is really personal. And just like your relationship with your spouse or with your friends, the more you know them, you can almost read their mind, can't you?
Absolutely.
You know what they're thinking in certain situations because you've been with them a lot. And it's the same thing with the Father. And it's the same thing that we have these deep relationships. We know him and he knows us. And so when we invite him in at the beginning of every day, you know, this is your day. And Lord, I invite you into every single thing that I do today, whether it's a podcast, whether I greet somebody at the grocery store, whatever it is, I invite you in and into my thoughts. Help me mold those thoughts. And so it's just an invitation. This is Edge God In, where you just bring him into every single thing. And in that relationship, he will speak. He will nudge you. I believe he will have the recall of scripture. If you have planted scripture in your heart at all, God brings it up right when you need it. There's so many ways, and he can use other people. Other people can come up and say something. You think, oh my goodness, I never thought of that in that way. And so he uses all kinds of things to nudge us, or he can just drop it in your brain, just like he did yours, Lauren. But it is the relationship that makes the difference.
It's that archway of connection, intimate connection with the Holy Spirit that allows, and listeners, be bold with Samuel's prayer and Eli from the Old Testament. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening.
Yes.
Is there anything you want me to say in this email? Is there anything you want me to say in this phone call? What would you like my intonation to be like? Mm-hmm. When I reach out to this person,
that's right.
Should I use Zoom visual or should it just be audio? He cares about all the different details. And Jesus says, just keep asking, ask, just like a little child.
That's right.
And we go on to read in verse 17, for the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the spirit, and the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, are in direct opposition to one another. They're continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Got that right. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the practices of the sinful nature, and this is where I pose the coaching question, where do you recognize yourself as I'm reading through some of these things? The practice of the sinful natures are clearly evident. There's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, putting things above God, thinking about things more than God, and your behavior shows that, just giving a little backside to idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, argumentative spirit, dissensions, factions, promote hearsay, that's gossip, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I love that line. Other things like these. Like, what else is there? you're really diving deep, Paul. I'm feeling naked right now.
I know.
Totally guilty. Guilty. I warn you beforehand, just as I previously did, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here's another but. But the fruit of the Spirit. What do you want more of today as I'm reading through this? Where did you recognize yourself in those previous scriptures? And these will be listed, those scriptures will be listed under this podcast. Now, shifting your thought pattern, as I'm reading through these scriptures, simply ask yourself the question, what do I want more of today? But, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the gift that Jesus talks about in John. Is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is linked to Galatians 5:1, which he began this chapter with. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm. Don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery, of sin. What is it? Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Is it gossip? Is it argumentative spirit? Perhaps it's impatience. Impatience is that prayer, dear God, I want patience and I want it now. We're not alone on this journey, and particularly with every storm, Jesus always comes too, and sin is missing the mark. Repentance is getting us back on target, back into the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus introduced that in John chapter 16 when he said, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the strengthener, this is what we have, this is our gift, this is Pentecost. It's no longer written in stone. It's in our hearts. The Holy Spirit makes it come alive. Will not come to you. But if I do go, I'll send him to you. Well, brothers and sisters, he did go and he did send.
Yes.
He went and he sent.
Yes.
And he sends us. Mm-hmm. And when he comes into this world... When he comes into this world, he will convict us with sin. Why does he do that? Why would God convict us of sin? What is he really going for there if it's missing the mark? What is his heart's desire, Phyllis? What do we know about this God that we seek?
You know, what we know, number one, God is good. God is love. And God's greatest goal for us is that we are more and more like Jesus. And so his goal may be different than our goal. We may be thinking that our goal is success in some way. It may be education. It may be power. It may be a lot of things. But God's goal is that we are shaped to be more and more like Jesus. Mm. And that's what he's doing for us. even in these hard days. I read an example the other day in Oswald Chambers that was so beautiful to me. It's like we are like the arrow in the bow, and God is stretching and stretching and pointing that arrow and pulling and straining to get that arrow in position. And sometimes we just say, we can't take that stretching anymore. We can't do this anymore. And yet God doesn't pay any attention to that because
he knows
where what we're about to hit. He knows the point where he wants us to go, and he knows the direction we've got to go in and the shape we've got to be in when we arrive at the point where he is sending us. So he just keeps pulling back and shaping us so we will hit the mark when the time comes. It's hitting that mark is becoming more like Jesus.
And the process of allowing his presence to be activated.
Yes.
Within us.
Yes.
And that's that choice point in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus goes on to say, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Are you confused right now? Do you feel accused? Do you feel abandoned? Perhaps you're afraid of not knowing what the future holds. These are all normal feelings as human beings. God knew this. Jesus knew this. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to speak us into truth. The truth is, you're not alone. The truth is, God has a plan for you. The truth is, he adores you. He calls you by name. And the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own initiative. He will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Mm-hmm. He will glorify and honor Jesus by taking from what is his. He's not physically walking the earth. Jesus is spiritually very present, walking the earth in and through our lives. We have that gift. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things." So remember that list in Galatians? Mm-hmm. All things. He was tempted in all things, just as we are. Tempted to be angry, tempted to judge, tempted to envy, tempted to be jealous, to have idols, to look outside of ourselves for our sense of identity versus inside of ourselves for our sense of identity. All of those temptations Jesus experienced and was without sin. So, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace. Phyllis, let's chat a little bit about the importance of mercy and grace with ourselves during this time and allowing ourselves to experience that mercy and grace. Talk about a plan that keeps on giving during the time of uncertainty, that mercy and grace to help in time of need. This is a time of need.
It is a time of need. And you know, Lauren, you're so right. Being afraid is not wrong. You know, we all have times of fear, and fear is kind of this built-in alert that we've been given to help us know when we're in danger. But partnering with fear or embracing the fear will cause us to miss the mark on what God has for us. Mm. And so, you know, this is where, you know, all throughout Scripture we hear, do not fear, do not be afraid. But God is not saying you go handle this or stop it. Mm-hmm. God is saying that within our reach is the grace to have victory over fear. He's not saying, you just go take care of this. No, it is always his grace that empowers us to do what we couldn't do alone. Mm. Grace enables us. Grace empowers. There's this passage in Isaiah again, Isaiah 51:12. It says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men? The sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor? You know, I think God is saying here.
That's Isaiah 51:12, right?
Right.
Did you say that? Okay.
Yes. And he is saying here, I'm the one who comforts you. Did you forget how big I am? Did you forget who I am? And I just believe that this is constantly in our, the Lord has given us his spirit to remind us constantly that he is with us. His grace alone will help us do the very things that we need to do, that we could never do on our own. And I do believe that grace enables us and grace empowers us to continue past the fear. I'd say one more thing about that. I think we can come from two perspectives, one of two perspectives. The first perspective is fear, you know, and fear tells us we're not enough. It causes us to think the battle is all ours. It keeps us occupied on who we are instead of who God is. That's what fear does. And then Amen. There's the other perspective, and that's love. And we remember God is love, and love says we have everything we need. And so when you start to think about living in this with this life source, this source that lives within us, that's the beauty of being a follower of Jesus. That because his spirit, he gives us, here's the model, here's what life's supposed to look like. And then he gives us his spirit to help us live out the model. I mean, what a deal.
That is a bargain. Sign me up.
That is a bargain.
That is a bargain.
Because we can't do this on our own. And so yep. he helps so us true. Actually do it.
Mm. So true, Phyllis. That's the process.
Yeah. That's the process.
That's the process. When we mentioned in the beginning of the podcast that there's actually a process of needing a change of heart, which is the title. Do you need a change of heart? Do you want a change of heart? That's actually a better word. I think I might change the title on the spot. Do you want a change of heart? Because want has to do with conviction.
Yes.
Need has an element of guilt and shame, like I have to do that. You don't have to do that. Jesus stands before us gently knocking at the door in Revelations 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and listens and opens that door, even just a little more today than yesterday, he will enter at the measure at which you choose to open. And he's a gentleman. He'll never leave you empty-handed. And as I went through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time, I was given 5 years to live back in 2006. I can honestly say I was never left empty-handed. It took me a while to ask sometimes because I mucked around and gave free rent to fear between my 2 ears and served at breakfast in bed and tucked it in at night. It became my identity. And finally I heard Jesus say to me, just so lovingly, I just literally heard it as clear as day one night. It was after a bad chemo. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done trying to achieve what you truly desire by human effort? Mm-hmm. And Paul talks about that. Are you so foolish? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?
That's right.
We're not meant to do this alone. This is huge. And our flesh is so weak in Romans chapter 7. I love Paul's dissertation. Hey, I know what I want to do, but I can't do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And this is Paul we're talking about, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. And he didn't trust the flesh. He knew he couldn't do it. But thanks be to God, he gives us that process at the end. Through Jesus Christ, that's the choice. Through Jesus Christ, we can. What if you upped your conversation today with Jesus? What would that look like for you, listener? Just up that conversation a little more today than yesterday. Up that conversation, particularly when you're emotionally bumped or in the midst of transition, before you transition from one activity to the next. What if you simply paused for a minute or two, closed your eyes, and connected to the lover of your soul? He's standing at that door, just knocking. Let me help you with this, he says. Invite me in. Come. Come closer, my child, am I not enough? Come closer, my child, am I not enough? And we're even told, and I don't remember where this verse is, Phyllis, but I remember thinking about this quite a bit, that where God says, test me in this. Do you know where that verse is in the Old Testament? Test me in this. Test me in this ask, that you will see my glory in abundance.
Yeah, I think it's Malachi, but I'm going to
Is it Malachi? Yeah, test me in this. Yeah. And I remember thinking about that when I lost all my hair and my breasts, my eyelashes and eyebrows and everything. And I remember saying to God, I got nothing left. And I'm in my marriage and I had my three young kids at the time. And I that verse just came to my mind. And I don't remember, I must've read it and memorized it in college because it can, and that's the power of our positionality in fighting against evil is memorize those verses that the Holy Spirit causes you to pause on.
Yes.
And they'll come back up. The Holy Spirit does that. He makes them go from dormant to live when you need them. That I will fight your battle, Exodus 14:14. You have only to be still. Right. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. When you store the word of God in your heart, and even if you just had a stack of index cards, just take one verse a week, and choose a verse from today's podcast. Listen to this again. Have your note card ready. Write down the verse that the Holy Spirit, you hear that, you feel that knocking. This is for you. This one's for you, my beloved. Take this in. Allow this to change your heart and mind and to remind your mind of what the Spirit knows, that God adores you, that he's our confidence. It's the throne of grace, as we read in Hebrews 4. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and grace in the time of need. Lord, we need your mercy and grace. We want your mercy and grace.
Mm-hmm.
We want your mercy and grace during this time of uncertainty. It assists us to work a mighty work in this world because it's working in and through us. And it's allowing that gift that Jesus says, hey guys, I am not leaving you alone on this. Are you kidding me? In this world, you're going to have troubles, but take heart. See, he speaks life into our heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. I remember having a little poster in my college dorm room that said, God has already overcome all that you feel has overcome you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at it one time during a very stressful time. And I was moved by the Spirit. I heard the Spirit say to me, do you believe this? And it really stopped me in my tracks. Do I truly believe that God's got my back? That he has plans in the midst of all of this uncertainty? Do I believe this? And how does my behavior align with my beliefs? Because that's a sure sign whether I believe or not.
That's right.
Because that's something I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Am I anxious? Am I worried? Am I staying up at night? That's an invitation to guard your heart. If you're having trouble sleeping, listeners, then take that prep time before you step in the ring of sleep to practice your skill set with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You get on your knees and say, Lord, I can't sleep because I'm so scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Help me, Lord. Show me what to do. I need your help. And he responds, as I mentioned, I speak this with so much compassion. As I went through advanced cancer and divorce and lost everything, except for my children. God, that was the biggest gift I kept during that time. God restored everything to me. And it didn't come all at once. It's definitely 5 years of a lot of heartache and turmoil. And I was never left empty-handed of the grace needed to stand up, draw near with confidence that God had my back and was going to bring a rose in the midst of the thorns. There's a podcast, a couple podcasts previous to this one called The Ping of Fear, Don't Respond, because the more you focus on it, the bigger it's going to get. And again, as quickly as possible, when you're feeling that today, listener, be quicker today on your mental feet to take captive every thought. Lord, that's not the thought I want to be thinking. I toss that into your lap. What do you want me to think? So what are some of your closing thoughts today for listeners to transfer the learnings from today's podcast, Phyllis?
Well, I would say, Lauren, there's what I would really think about with our listeners today is kind of 10 things I think God would just want to say to them. Number one, he loves you. He goes before you, every step before you. Think of that. So in these uncertain days, we have a Father who loves us going before us. He gives you strength. He guides you. He provides for you. He delights in you. He will be with you. He will answer you. He will bless you. And he will give you rest. And I would say to Lauren that as we think about this time of missing the mark and change of heart, wanting a change of heart, when we look at the Father, when we come to him and invite him into our lives and invite the Holy Spirit and Jesus just to search our hearts, there's something that happens to us, and that is step one, just coming to him and inviting him into the process of getting to know him so that we can actually know that he will do all of these things. And in your experience, in those dark days, you saw it for real. You saw it happen, that you knew he was with you, even in the midst of all of the things that were going on, that he was still present. And you could sense that. And the joy of that is so important as we think of that he is with us in the midst of all the things that may be even happening today.
Absolutely. And that gives us that sense of certainty.
Yes.
That's our certainty. We can be certain in the midst of uncertainty. And we can be certain of all of those 10 things that you declared moving forward. So again, listeners, listen to this podcast again and look for the 1 to 3 things that the Holy Spirit truly wants you to grab up like a gold nugget and expand in your life. Learn the scriptures around it. It could be a theme of fear. It could be the theme of missing the mark or having a change of heart. Perhaps it's the scriptures from Galatians on recognizing yourself. Where do I recognize myself? What am I struggling with? Where is there a stronghold? Is it judgment? Is it envy? Is it being quick-tempered, lack of patience? Where do I recognize myself? Just grab one thing. God is patient. He's not wanting anyone to perish, anyone, but everyone to come to eternal life. And he's slow in bringing about his end result, so that we can learn and develop the character that leads us to that deeper peace that passes all human understanding. And the scriptures will, again, they'll be listed under today's podcast at edgegodin.com. Take what is yours, write it down, keep it by your bedside or your computer so that you can reference it, so that you can make it a habit in your life, so that it spills out into your behavior. You know that you're anxious and you're worried because your behavior changes, your body language changes, your intonation, your facial expressions, people pick up on that. When you're reestablishing a gift of the Spirit, whether it be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, or self-control, it takes that choice of consistency. I erase this thought, I replace it with this thought, this verse. So it's a lot of erasing and replacing for a couple weeks. Be consistent. God is faithful. And whatever he calls you to, he will do it. And he calls you to peace. He calls you to love. He calls you to joy. John 10:10, devil comes to kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. This is truth. He declares it. Therefore, it's ours. We can proclaim it over our emotions that rise and fall depending on how the world judges us at that time. Phyllis, can you close us in prayer today?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you. So, Father, here we are. We are your children, Father, and we know whose we are and who we are in you. And so, Father, we come today totally at the end of ourselves. Father, at the end of ourselves, and we surrender our lives totally to you. And so, Father, we come and we want to ask you, Father, to help us not be fearful, that we will be reliant on your goodness, your love, and that we will trust, Father, in you, that we will have no fear, Father, of man, no fear, Father, of what's happening in the world, but that we will trust in you. And Father, as we look at the people we want to be, Father, help us as we miss the mark, that we will be so sure of what that mark is, that we will know Jesus so well, that we will say, that's the mark of my life. That's what I want. And so, Father, help us see that, know that, and know him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. I pray, Father, today that you will lead us to repentance in new ways, that you will search our hearts and lead us, Father, to repentance in those places where we have missed the mark. And Father, today we thank you for your grace and that you're not a God of a second chance, that you're the God of another chance. Time and time again, God, we have failed and we come to you and know, God, that you will rescue us, mm-hmm. that you are our rock, you are our hiding place, you are, Father, our strong tower. Yes. And so, Father, we run to you today, and we thank you, Father, that you are full of love and mercy and grace, and that we belong to you. Father, thank you now for Lauren. I pray for all of the listeners right now, that whatever is happening in their lives, Father, that you will open their hearts and minds to receive what you are saying to them in this moment. Oh, Father, speak. We ask you, Lord, to speak in ways that they've not heard before, but that they will hear your voice and they will turn from their wicked ways. And they truly, Father, will come to know you in new ways today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I'd like to end with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Thanks be to God. Phyllis, that's such a powerful verse to end with and for us to store within our heart. I'd like you to just say a few words about Lead Like Jesus Ministry. Again, the website is leadlikejesus.com. Phyllis, who's the co-host today, is the president and CEO of Lead Like Jesus. I'm one of the many board members that have been involved for several years, and I just have such a heart for this ministry. So mm-hmm. Can you share a little more about that, Phyllis?
Oh, I'd love to, Lauren. You know, Lead Like Jesus is not only, you know, people look at that, and I want to say that's not a slogan. That is how our life must look, is that it's a life message that we want to love, live, and lead like Jesus. And what we do is we are discipling the body of Christ through leadership training. And so right now, you know, you look at the coronavirus and everything that's happening in this pandemic in the world, and it's not just a health and economic crisis, it's a leadership crisis. And so what we know is we know that Jesus is the model for leaders that will not fail in this time. And he is the one that's not only the model, but he helps transform the leader and those around him or her. And so we are teaching and training people around the world. We're in 19 nations, and we are watching that even in this challenging time, how God is using the messages of Lead Like Jesus, all of our resources and training online and in connections in ways that we never imagined, Lauren. And so we are deeply grateful for what God is doing to use this message to really train and disciple the body of Christ around the world.
So powerful, Phyllis. I don't know, how many years have we been connected through Lead Like Jesus?
Well, I remember. Maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah, right? That's what I thought. Yeah, it's been about, yeah. It's amazing.
I've been with Lead Like Jesus almost 19 years, and I have felt like I've been on a front row seat, just really watching God work in the world. Through, you know, there's no transformation of culture until there's personal transformation. So sometimes it seems like it's one person at a time, but when one person gets this message that Jesus is the model and that it is through him, and he's also the source. Yeah. So Jesus is the model and the source for how we live our lives, for how we love and how we lead. There is a transformation that happens that only God could cause.
So powerful. And the retreats that you facilitate are incredible, truly life-changing.
Thank you.
You have a stellar team with you as well, with Ken and Phil, and you guys have known each other for a while, and just the three of you are pretty incredible along with everyone else. So highly recommend listeners that you explore the mission of Lead Like Jesus. It's leadlikejesus.com. Thank you for your presence, Phyllis. So grateful to have you co-host today. And if you're willing, I'd love to have you back on.
I'd love to be here.
We can jump into another topic. God is never short of topics, as I find. I simply ask every week, what do you want to talk about this week? And then I know exactly when he puts it on my heart. I'm like, oh, that's what you want to talk about. So grateful for your willingness to join today. And listeners, God loves you. He adores you. Draw closer, listeners, and visit us at edgegodin.com to capture your learnings with that one sheet, and enjoy your gift of life today. Give them heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on.